And they brought Daniel, cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then Daniel said unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth. And they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocence was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. This is what I felt like preaching to y'all tonight. Well, there's still a God in heaven. Who cares? There's a lot of times things we go through and troubles that we face. The devil wants to make us think that there's nobody that cares. Nobody knows where you're at. Nobody cares where you're at.
Watch out.
Well, here we find King Darius is over the kingdom now. And it pleased him to set over the kingdom 120 princes. That should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three princes, over these 120 princes, he was going to put three presidents. And he liked Daniel over all the other presidents and all the other princes. The Bible said that the king thought about putting Daniel over the whole realm. And Daniel's life was going pretty good at first, as we can find out in reading here in chapter 6. But Daniel wasn't the same kind of people these was. And when they heard that Darius had thought about putting Daniel over the whole realm, they got jealous. And so the Bible said they sought to find occasion against Daniel. And they was going to try to find something wrong with Daniel. And they got together and said, we need to find something that Daniel's doing that is not for the kingdom. We got to find some occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. And so I could see as they'd get together at night and they'd plan meetings and they'd say, you watch out over here and I'll go over here and we'll watch Daniel and we'll spy on him and we're going to find something that Daniel's done wrong. And I can see Daniel every day in his daily life as he's going about his business, whatever the king had him to do. And Daniel knew that these other men was against him. And he knew that they was jealous because the king liked him. And Daniel every day as he's going about doing his daily task, he'd see them throughout the marketplace watching him. And as he'd walk down through town, he would see them and see they were spying on him. And all these men was trying to find something against Daniel. And no doubt Daniel felt like all these men that he worked with, he was supposed to have a good relationship with him. They were supposed to be friends. They was all for the kingdom. But we find Daniel, everybody in the kingdom was against him. It looked like to Daniel. And no doubt the devil running through Daniel's mind. Nobody knows where you're at, Daniel. Nobody cares about you. Everybody's against you. Everybody wants to see you fall. And Daniel probably thought that nobody cared where he was at. And I can see it now. They'd get together and they'd talk, and one of them would say, well, did you see anything out of Daniel? And they'd say, no, I didn't see anything about Daniel. Everything that Daniel's doing is good, and everything that he does is for the kingdom. Daniel's not against the kingdom. And they'd say, well, we'll watch some more. Surely he's going to mess up. And so the next day, like days before, they'd go out, and they'd watch Daniel. They'd watch every move he made. And they'd get back together again at night, and they'd talk, have you seen anything out of Daniel? Everybody would have to say no. Finally, one of them stood up and said, hey, if we're going to find occasion against Daniel, if we're going to find something wrong with Daniel, we're going to have to find it wrong with him concerning the law of his God. I'd like folks to say that about me. If we're going to find something wrong with him, we're going to have to find it wrong in God's Word. We're going to have to find it wrong with his God. And they said, if we're going to find something wrong with Daniel, we're going to have to find something wrong concerning the law of his God. They knew every morning when Daniel rolled out of bed, he opened his
windows up towards Jerusalem. He fell down on his knees. He began to pray and to worship God and cry out to his God every day at noontime. When he'd go home for lunch, they could just set their clock by it. They'd look up there and they'd see the windows open upstairs in Daniel's room, and they'd open up towards Jerusalem, and they'd know that he was down on his knees crying out to God, making supplication unto his God. Daniel was faithful in prayer. And they knew every night after Daniel got through with his work that day, when he'd go home, and they knew Daniel was faithful. And they'd see them doors open up again. And he'd bow down. He'd begin to worship his God. And so all the presidents got together. All the princes got together, and they went to King Darius, and they flattered King Darius and tell him how great and how mighty he was and such a great king. And they said, King Darius, we've come together and we've decided we ought to make a decree that nobody should worship any other god. Nobody should ask petition of any other god, pray to any other god beside you for 30 days. They didn't have to say from now on. They could have just said it for a few days. Because they knew Daniel would not miss a day. They knew Daniel was faithful in prayer. We got to be faithful in prayer, church. Did you know the world's watching us? It don't matter what you think. This world has got their eyes on you. They're watching you. They're watching every move you make. They know when you pray. They know when you pray over your food at work. The world's watching us. And they was watching Daniel. And so they told the king this. And they said, King, why don't you sign it? With your ring, give it the signet. The law of the Medes and Persians. And that law of the Medes and the Persians, the law was that any decree that was signed by the king, it could not be changed. No matter what, it could not be changed. The king himself could not change that decree. And so they finally talked the king into it. And he signed that decree. I like what the Bible says about Daniel. It tells us that when Daniel knew that the decree had been signed, when Daniel knew that that decree had been signed, when he knew that everybody that bowed down and worshipped any other god besides King Darius would be thrown in the lion's den, Daniel went straight to his place of prayer. Daniel went straight up to his room. After he knew that it was signed, he knew that he'd get in trouble, Daniel went up there. He opened up his windows towards Jerusalem. He fell down and began to worship his God, knowing that he'd get in trouble for it. You know, what would we do? They was to come in here with their machine guns. Say, close the church house down. You're not going to have service no more. You're not going to pray no more. You're not going to call out to God no more. Friend, the time's coming. And right now they won't let our kids pray in school. Whenever they leave your hands and go into a school classroom, they're able to teach them kids whatever they want to. You no longer have rule over them. They start teaching sex education at a young age. Homosexuals and lesbians teaching them in our schools. It's just an alternate lifestyle. When they leave your hands, they can be taught anything. And friend, I want you to know this world is getting so corrupt. What are we going to do when they come in and say, we can't pray no more? We'll be faithful like Daniel. We go ahead like Daniel did and go ahead and pray anyway. Daniel knelt down and prayed. Daniel knew those men had been following him. Daniel knew those men had been watching him. Daniel knew that they was watching him at that very moment. But Daniel went in and knew that he needed to be faithful to his God. And Daniel bowed his knees and began to pray unto his God, knowing that he'd get in trouble. And so they saw him and they took him to King Darius. They talked to him and said, King, did you not sign a decree? The petition of any other god for 30 days will be cast into the den of lions. He said, yeah, I made that decree. This is true. He said, I signed it by the law of the Medes and Persians. And that law that alters not. And they said, King, there's one that's not obeying this decree. And he was angry at first. But you see, he was good friends with Daniel. He wasn't thinking about Daniel when he signed the decree. He wasn't thinking about his friend Daniel. Whenever he made this decree not to pray, he knew Daniel prayed. But he wasn't thinking about him. And they said, this man Daniel, your servant Daniel, he's praying 3 times a day to his God, knowing that this decree had been signed. And it hurt King Darius's heart when he found this out. King Darius didn't want to let Daniel be thrown in the lion's den. King Darius didn't want Daniel to be killed. The Bible said that he tarried till the going down of the sun. He tried until the sun set. He did everything within his power. He tried to get the law changed. But the princes and the presidents stood up. And they said, no, it's time by the law of the Medes and Persians. This law alters not. You cannot do this, king. And so we find that he takes him down. He throws him in the lion's den. Calls out and says, Daniel, the God that you serve continually, he will deliver you, Daniel. And no doubt I can see as Daniel's down there in the lion's den. He's saying, now, Lord, I've been faithful to you. God, I've been faithful. I prayed 3 times a day like always. And I wouldn't doubt that the devil was on Daniel's shoulder saying, yeah, Daniel, look what you got yourself into. Look where you're at now. You ain't got no friends. The presidents don't like you. The king here is throwing you in the lion's den. You don't have no friends. Nobody cares, Daniel. Nobody cares what you're going through. Nobody cares where you're at. And here we find Daniel down in the lion's den. Daniel thinks nobody cares. And I can see Daniel as the stone is rolled in front of the mouth of the lion's den. And just about all the light leaves the cave. He can hear as those chains begin to rattle. As they're raising those big iron bars. And those lions reaching through the bars. Growling, trying to get to Daniel. And they're growling, trying to get to him. And Daniel backs up in a corner. Gets over there against a rock somewhere. Thinking maybe I'll have to fight these lions off. God had moved on others to fight. But Daniel was in a bad shape. I wouldn't doubt Daniel was very discouraged at this time. I didn't have no friends. Nobody cares where I'm at. And all of a sudden they raise them bars up. And them lions rush out from underneath them bars. They run up to Daniel. But not a one of them opens their mouth. They begin to run all around Daniel. And you know what I believe Daniel sees? At that very time, the Bible said that God sent angels and shut the lion's mouth. I believe riding on the backs of them lions was angels holding their mouth shut. I believe they was crying out to Daniel, Daniel, there's still a God in heaven who cares. Daniel, God still cares about you. God knows where you're at. Friend, I want you to know, it don't matter what you're going through, it don't matter where you're at, there's still a God in heaven who cares. The devil loved to make you and I believe God don't care. He loved to make you believe God don't know where you're at. He's got every hair in your head numbered. When you comb it, something fall out. He just subtracts a little bit. He knows how many's on your head. Every sparrow that falls, he's counting them. He cares about them. How much more does he care about us? We've got a God that cares. Then we find how Daniel was delivered. And how that because he was faithful to God, he said, hey, we're going to serve Daniel's God. Because no other God delivers like Daniel's God. And you want to know why no other God delivers like Daniel's God? And that's my God. If you're saved, that's your God. You want to know the reason why no other God delivers like him? It's because no other God cares like him. And you, that one song says you can place a flower on the grave where they laid old Buddha down. You can cry out to him all day long, but he can't hear you. He's still down in that ground. He's dead. He's not there anymore. You can hear Muhammad's children pray to his bones in the ground. He can't hear you. He can't help them anymore. But friend, it said you can journey to Jerusalem to a graveyard if you dare. You can look for Jesus' body. But friend, there ain't nobody there. You know where he's at. He arose. He ascended unto heaven. He's sitting on the right hand of God right now. And just like when Stephen was being stoned and thought he had no friends, he looked beyond the stones and he saw the Son of God standing up, looking over the balcony of heaven. Friend, God cares where you're at. God knows. God cares. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they was there in the kingdom. Nebuchadnezzar made a great golden image. He said, you're going to have to bow down and worship this when you hear this music played. Music was played. And friend, they stuck out like a sore thumb. Everybody down on their knees, except for these three. I mean, you could see acres of people standing, and everybody fell down. But these three boys, friend, they had something in their heart. They had a desire in their heart. God, no matter what, I will serve you. The king brought them in, and it would have been easy for them to bow down. He was just in front of the king then. He said, when I play the music, you bow down. And they said, we're not even careful to answer you. We're not going to bow down. Throw us in the fire if you want to. And friend, that day he bound them up, threw them in that fiery furnace. He killed the three men that threw them in. And then the king went over and he looked inside, and he saw four men. It said he was astonished. He saw four men loosed and walking around in that fiery furnace. And he called them out. But you know what it said? It said the fourth was like the Son of God. And you know what I believe the Son of God was doing at that very time in Daniel chapter 3? I believe he was reminding those three Hebrew children, there's still a God in heaven that cares. He was saying, we know where you're at and we care about you. God cares. God cares. You get out in the world and you rub elbows with the world, and that depression that sin puts on everyone out in the world, it'll rub off on us, and we'll think nobody cares. We'll get down and get discouraged. We'll come to church and we'll sit back and pout. And friend, all the time, there's a God in heaven that cares. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. And He cares about you. You know, I've always said, you know, the Bible says that God won't put anything on you that you can't bear. And Job went through a lot. And I've always said that there's two different ways to look at that. Most folks, when they go through something, they say, God hates me. God don't care about me. God don't love me. But friend, He said He wouldn't put nothing on you that you couldn't bear. And if you're carrying a heavy, heavy load, you know what that means? That means God's got confidence in you. That means God's looking over at the devil saying, that was mine right there. They can handle any load you put on them, Satan. Friend, God cares about us. And God knows where we're at. I see Jacob. His mother told him, said, your father sent Esau out to go kill a deer and bring him back and make him some meat. He said, he's going to bless him. And I could see her. She said, go get me two kids and I'll kill them. I'll make the meat. You take the skin. You act like you're Esau. And so he did. And he went in. And you know the story, how that day that his dad blessed him. And then we find after he was through blessing him and he went out of the room, Esau come in and he said, here am I, father, I'm here. I've got this, arise and eat. I've got this meat for you. And he said, who are you? Told him, I'm Esau. And he said, your younger brother tricked me. I thought it was him, but I felt of him and he felt hairy. I thought he was you, Esau. And Esau got very angry. And he told his dad, he said, I'm going to go and I'm going to kill my brother. I'm going to kill Jacob. And Jacob's mom heard this. And she said, Jacob, you better get out of here and go to your Uncle Laban's house. Stay there until Esau's wrath has calmed down, until he's not mad anymore. And then I'll send for you and I'll bring you back home. But you better leave. And I can see as Jacob begins to leave that day, and he's leaving the house. And in his mind, I don't doubt he's thinking nobody cares about him. Well, how did I get in this shape? Why am I in this shape? And he leaves the house that day. Nightfall's coming, and he's going to his Uncle Laban's house. Couldn't make the journey all in one day. And as he's going down the road, it starts getting dark. I don't doubt he kept looking over his shoulder. I wonder, my brother Esau's behind me. You see, Esau was a great hunter. The Bible tells us that he was a great hunter. He could track them deer. He went out in just a short time and killed a deer that day. And friend, I don't doubt in his mind he was wondering, I wonder if Esau is behind me. He might be behind that tree watching me. Mom said he was going to kill me. Oh, nobody cares where I'm at. Yeah. As he's walking through the night, every time he steps on a stick and it cracks and the echo, I can see as he jerks. He tries to find and think Esau's behind him. Friend, he's thinking nobody cares. He was in bad shape all by himself. I don't doubt when he laid down, he took those stones, made a pillow that night, laid his head down. I don't doubt through his mind, the devil was putting things in his mind. He was thinking, I'll never wake up. He saw find me in the night. He'll track me down in the night. He's so angry and he'll kill me before daylight. And I'll never wake up. He didn't think God was anywhere around. Jacob thought he was all by himself. He didn't think God was nowhere to be found. He didn't think nobody cared. But that night he fell asleep. He said he saw a ladder ascending from the earth all the way up into heaven. He said at the top of that ladder was God. He said there was angels ascending and descending on that ladder by the command of God. And friend, that next morning he woke up and he got up from where he was at, took a few steps and looked back. And you know what the Bible said that he said that day? He said, surely the Lord was in this place and I knew it not. Friend, there's going to be times when we'll go through things and we'll say, God, where are you? God, you're not here to be found. And when you get out on the other side, you'll look back through that trial. You'll have to say, surely the Lord was in that place, and I knew it not. Friend, when you don't know it, God's there. When you can't realize it, God is there. Because we got a God that cares. There's still a God in heaven that cares. He's still on the throne. Nobody's dethroned him. Satan hadn't dethroned him. Nobody's took his power away. We still got a God in heaven that cares. He cares where we're at. He cares what we're going through. He understands when our wives don't understand, when your husbands don't understand, when the pastor don't know. You still got a God in heaven that cares. If I could leave anything with y'all tonight, said a little bit about discouragement this morning. The devil would love to jump in every one of your minds and hearts and discourage you to the point and you say, what's the use? And you leave the house of God not to come back. And friend, most of the time when folks backslide, it starts because they get discouraged and because they think that God don't care. But I want to leave you with this tonight. There's still a God in heaven who cares.